Accession number 27316, Reel 2.
Keith Stiley, Reel 2. So you were, there was naval mail, excuse me, naval mail coming in there as well.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And was this mail for the whole of sort of North Africa? Or
no,
just
no.
Just for
Egypt.
Yeah.
We.
So you sorted it, did you?
Yeah, we sorted out to different units and they came in for it. And then the mail that came in from the units, something we sorted in the afternoon, and off it went. We met the wagon 30 miles down the road, and off it went there.
And did it go by sea back to the UK, or was it...
Most of it did. I mean, you used to get sacks and sacks of parcels, you know. I mean, there were loads of... Because we had four or five people on the counter sorting, you know, so it was very busy.
Were troops sending things back to the UK
in
these parcels? What were they sending?
Tin fruit, everything.
Really?
Yeah, we had one place up the road which used to send them in wooden boxes. They used to make their own boxes of goods, you know. It's amazing, but honestly wouldn't believe that people would do that. But I suppose they had plenty of time to, they didn't spend their money on anything else. I mean, there was very little you could do there except swim in the Bitter Lakes, Timsa. That's about all you could do. There was nothing else there. You had the pictures, obviously, but they were open-air things, of course.
Did you go into Cairo much?
Oh, yeah, I've been, yeah, a few times.
What was that like?
Cause
it must have been lovely.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So an interesting thing there. It's the only place I've ever seen a car going down the road with no tyres on. Yeah.
And, on the rims.
Yes. Funny enough, when I left the post office, I retired, I went to work at Hatherley for a lady a few times, and I met a lady there who came from Heliopolis, which is part of Cairo. She was an Egyptian, you know, and we used to talk. It's amazing how things come back to you, you know.
So what did you do in Cairo? Off the bars or nightclubs? Or?
Mainly pictures. We went on a few tours or anything, you know. You did go into there were a couple of mosques which were beautiful inside, you know. They were full of gold and silver, all the lights on them. Beautiful places, actually, you know. Very, I mean, it was just like going to a museum sort of thing. But, I can't remember ever going to a museum there. I'm not sure now. But certainly the all around there was very interesting, really.
And were those the British Army clubs and things?
Yeah,
like
you always had those with going for coffee and whatever, you know. But,
they were good days, were they?
Well, sometimes, yes.
What about the heat? Because it did get awfully hot, didn't
it? It never bothered me. It does now. It never bothered me then. I used to get what they call prickly heat, sort of thing, usually in April. And then it would go, and I never had any trouble with it after that, you know. Because, I mean, we spent a lot of time swimming in the lakes anyway.
So how long were you at Fanara Post Office?
Oh, about a year, I suppose. Yeah, long time.
I mean, were you worried about being sent out to, after VE Day had happened, of being sent to the Far East to fight the Japs or be involved?
Not really, no. No, you anticipated that it was going to happen anyway. No. I mean, when one of the problems, I think, was the fact that when the war was over, everybody wanted to get home. but that was not possible at all.
So, did you have any idea? I mean, you'd been called up in 44. How long they were going to keep you?
No.
Because the war was over, you might think, oh, we're all going home now.
No, they didn't. This was a problem. You had a lot of quite a few problems out in Egypt where people wanted to go home, you know, and they were, you know, literally, I wouldn't say they went on strike, but they didn't want to do anything, sort of thing. And I mean, I suppose people got bored. I mean, I had an interesting job. It was like working at home in some ways. But, I mean, a lot of them must have been quite boring for them, sort of thing. And you would then get fed up and want to go home. And there was probably a lot of trouble out there, actually.
Was that?
Yeah. But, I remember I got transferred later on I went from Fanara to Port Said to a post office and ran a post office there. And it was within a 1004 Docks Group. And they'd had trouble there. When I got there, it was like a concentration camp. And it appears that all these blokes, they got fed up and went into the canteen in Naffy there and wouldn't come out. So we're staying here, you know, we want to go home. And so some bloke, one of these, I don't know, colonel or somebody, came along with a tank and threatened them. And they all came out then. But the place was like a concentration camp after that. I mean, you know, the discipline went berserk. Whereas, to my mind, there was very little discipline for the most part when I first went out there anyway, because for the simple reason people were doing jobs and that's it, they weren't bored. But when they want to go home and they're getting bored, well,
were there many people deserting then?
Well, you couldn't desert. Where are you going to desert to? They just literally wanted to you know, you send me home or else. But I mean, you didn't have an army where you had the union sort of thing. You couldn't go on strike, could you? You know, I mean, there was no union to help you. Whereas today, they would, wouldn't they? I mean, they wouldn't be. There's no comparison today to what it was then, you know.
So what was the work like at Port Said post office then?
Oh, lovely.
It was a busy one, was it?
Yes, yeah. You had all the docks around there. There was a big transit camp which came in, sort of thing, you know. So, I mean, people went home from there, obviously, and people came there. So, I mean, Port Said was a lovely spot, actually. You had right alongside it, so what we called Port Fouad, which was the like the civilian part of Port Said, and you could go there swimming. It was beautiful, really was. I mean, there's nothing, to my mind, I've never come across anything to compare it, and I don't suppose you will.
Yeah. Did you have any special friends that you sort of managed to stay with while you were in Egypt? Or?
Not really, no. I moved around, and I suppose that's where I lost them, actually, you know. I was never one to get very pally, really, with anybody anyway. I mean, in Fanara Post Office, there was about 12 of us. We all worked together, and we all did everything together. So, you know, we all slept in the same room. You know, so, I mean, that was... you are colleagues all together there, but I mean, I never really got very pally with any particular one, you know. And after the war, for instance, I never met anybody from that I knew there.
But I mean, there were, as you were saying, lots and lots of troops in Egypt.
Oh yes, yes. There
on
were
on their way home, I imagine. Yes. A lot of them.
I mean, one of the, one of the things I think people forget is the fact that Palestine was the becoming a real trouble spot, and we had 100,000 troops up in Palestine. A lot of airborne, these airborne division people up there, trying to keep the two pieces apart. And we did a lot of, from that port side, the docks. I mean, we used to run the stuff by railway carriage, you know, these, all the way up to Palestine from port side. There was a railway going all the way up there and back. You know, we did a lot of sending a lot of stuff up there.
So, did you think that this the trouble that they got in Palestine could sort of spread and come anywhere near you? Or?
Didn't come down to Egypt, no. But the there was a change of attitude, to my mind, with the Egyptians towards the end. Well, when did I leave there? 47, I would think. There was a change of attitude in as much that they moved everything out of Cairo into the desert, you know, all along Fanara, all the way down to a place called Muasker. So,
Have there been any trouble in Cairo, or was it just a slummy?
No, I think it was just the fact that they felt that, well, probably that they didn't want to stay there, you know. Rather, if they, it was an I mean, after all, we were literally an occupation force there, weren't we? And but to go up the desert, no one cared. See, so I think that's why they moved out of there. But everything moved out of Cairo. Up into the desert.
Did you have any contact with Egyptian people very much?
Yes, a bit. When I went to Port Said, I got involved with some people from the Nafi there, and they used to have a lot to do with the Egyptians, with buying things and that from them, and I used to go out with them. I could never drink that coffee, thick stuff, but it was very interesting. So I wish now that I'd learnt Arabic, you know, studied it a bit. There we are. We had a lot of Germans. There were a lot of Germans and Italians in around Fanara. They were prisoners, you know.
Are you still there?
Yeah, they were still there.
Do you have any contact with
them? Yeah, we had an Italian that used to work for us. We're in the post office with us.
Really?
Vittorio. He was... he could sort UK as good as I could. he knew the towns. It was amazing. He was a violinist in one of these... because it would be a cathedral in one of the towns in Italy. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the big places. But he could speak English. It was fantastic. It really was. Yeah. Not only an ordinary, nothing spectacular about him at all.
What sort of places were these POW camps?
They were... all sand and all tents, you know, and I mean, a tent was as good as anything out there because, I mean, it was warm all the time. The only time it was cold, it was at night. So, I mean, it didn't bother you at all.
And what were the conditions like in the camp, do you think?
Well, they had everything they wanted. You know, with food. I mean, they could go swimming in the lakes the same as we did. I mean, there was nowhere for them to go, was there? They couldn't, you know, where could you run off to? Yeah.
And you stayed at Port Said, did you, till...
Till I finished, yeah. And came home.
So you had your plans already set for coming home, really, didn't you?
Yeah, I was lucky there, really. Yeah.
You came back to Cheltenham Post Office?
Yeah, no trouble.
I mean, you've seen a lot, hadn't you? And you've been quite a lot of different places.
Yes.
Did you have any inclination to go anywhere else?
Not really, no. I must admit, I would have liked to have gone back there now, but you see, the places they go to are not where I would want to go to. This is the thing, I mean, they go up the Nile. It isn't where I would want to go at all. I'll tell you, one interesting point was I did get involved with some of the ammunition that we used to move was from what they call Chura Caves, which was outside Cairo, and they reckon that a lot of the stone that they built the pyramids came from these caves, and some of the caves have been sealed from the First World War. They never opened them. You know, it was so unstable, the stuff that was in there. And they had little railways running inside these caves, Chura Caves, that was called. And when you went inside, it was lovely and cool.
And in these little railways, they'd be bringing the stuff out to
that's
you,
right.
Which you load
take
up.
It on the wagons and take it up the desert and blow it up.
Yeah. Did they open the caves from the First World War? Or
they must have been there. I presume they go back to days when they built the pyramids, you know. Marvellous, really. Yeah. Now, those are the kind of places I would have liked to have gone to see again, you know. But they didn't go to places like that. Or Cairo.
Yeah. Yeah. So, any other funny stories? Because I'm sure, it's difficult to remember, I know. You must have had some good times there. Did you have much contact with your NCOs or officers? Or
not really, no. I mean, we had a corporal in charge of the APO at Finara. Well, I mean, he let you... You did the job, sort of thing. I mean, you knew what you had to do. I mean, that's it. It was literally a routine, really, like you go to work at home.
Yeah.
But I think you. One of the problems, I suppose, was that you didn't have the entertainment which in the evenings, which you would at home. There we are.
So you went in at what, you were about 18, were you?
I was 18
and... You came out about 22, something like
that.
Yeah. What had you learned? What was the big lesson that you'd learned?
Well, I suppose... discipline, I think, probably more than anything else, is a max... You know, you... you end up... being told what to do and you do it. You know, I often think that today, the youngsters today, they just don't realise how well off they are, really. I mean, when you went out there, you did what you were told. I mean, you knew what you had to do. I mean, there was no point in kicking a trace against the traces sort of thing, saying, oh, I'm not doing that sort of thing. Which they would do today, you know. I mean, and I think that is probably one of the things that you then have respect for everything and everybody, whereas today you don't.
stayed with the post office.
Yes.
Until you retired.
Until I retired. I was 60 when I retired, and I've had 18 years retirement. Yeah. Marvellous.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it's been a great story.
Sorry, oh, I don't know Stiley. About that.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
And that's Keith Stiley, end of reel 2.